Good day, cannabis makers. Hope everyone is high and happy today. My name is Øystein, and we are here today with episode 6 of the Cannabis Maker podcast. We are grateful to have with us Dr. O here today, and I'm sitting here with Liam.
Hey guys, Liam here. Welcome to episode 6 of the Cannabis Maker podcast. And as Øystein said, today we're joined by Dr. Lola Ohanba. She is a clinical pharmacist and a certified medical cannabis specialist working out of Florida with an education in history and medical cannabis. And WCI Health is her alternative health and wellness company, where she works with healthcare professionals, dispensaries, and alternative medicine lovers to just help understand the health benefits of the plant medicine like cannabis more and more and help them achieve better health. Before we get started on today's session of the Cannabis Maker podcast, we're going to take a quick second to give a shout out to our sponsors. Today's episode is self-sponsored by Nordic Herbzone. Nordic Herbzone is Norway's first cannabis and hemp brand and works with the best medical cannabis doctors, pharmacists, and patients to provide more information and access to medical cannabis patients in Norway and Europe. If you're interested in a medical cannabis prescription and want to find out more, head to NordicHerbzone.com. NordicHerbzone.com. NordicHerbzone.com.
Thank you so much for having me. Hi, guys. Jerry, how are you? Great to see you today.
Good. How are you? Pleasure to be here.
Yeah, I'm excited to be here.
Hey, Jared, welcome in as well, sir. How's it going?
Amazing. Thank you for having me. It's great. Great to be here. Good to see everybody.
And Pamela, how are you?
Wonderful. Thank you for inviting me up. Thank you very much.
Hey, well, yeah, welcome, guys. And Forzana's in as well. Hey, Forzana, how are you doing today?
Hello, hello, everyone. Hello, Queen.
Princess, how are you? Great to see you today.
Good to see you. I'm so excited. I can't wait for everyone to experience your knowledge.
Well, I love you.
I was going to say, well, then let's not wait for it any longer. And Dr. O, thank you so much for joining us on this episode and for welcoming, I think, a lot of much needed info for people in the cannabis industry, from patients to processors to everybody making and creating in the space that needs to just be a bit more aware on the medical side and actually hear from the medical professionals who I feel have been a bit too quiet in the space for too long. So I want you to be able to share as much as possible. And yeah, we can just start it off. Tell us a little bit about your history, your story, and where it's all coming from with the passion for cannabis.
Everybody in the audience, I'm shaking hands with you guys. I'm so excited to be here. My story started in Nigeria. I was born in Lagos, Nigeria. That's western part of Africa. You know, growing up like a normal kid, playing on the streets, did everything. For me, I had to like take care of myself, learn how to take care of myself at an early age, because my mom died when we were very little. I didn't really know her. So I tend to guess probably I would be probably around 2 or 3. When this happened, so I never remember anything about her. So I've always had to learn how to take care of myself. And I remember growing up, we had a mango tree at the back of my house, a mango tree, where whenever we are sick with malaria, my dad, my stepmom, they would just go to the back of the house and grab some of the leaves and cut some of the bark of the tree. And they will get like lemongrass and some other herbal leaves and put it together, make it a kind of a brew. For those that have experienced ayahuasca type of psychedelic brew, that's exactly how this stuff I'm talking about will be, like dark and smelling. Of course, now with me in this space, it's awesome to see that all that smell that I used to detest were from topping. So that's what we used to drink. Whenever we have malaria, we'll drink that. They will give it to us. We'll have to take it. We'll drink it. And before you know it, we'll be back on the streets running around playing, you know. Fast forward to me coming to United States and going to pharmacy school, I discovered that some of the knowledge that the parents, these folks were using was just the active ingredient in those botanicals. But before I even get really deep, I guess I need to have a disclaimer. First of all, my name is Dr. Lola. I'm a clinical pharmacist and I'm certified in medical cannabis. I'm the founder of WCI Health. We are alternative health and wellness company. We help people get and stay well using the healing powers of botanical. Me as a person, I help healthcare professionals, dispensaries, and plant medicine lover enthusiasts understand how plant medicine works so that they can help their clients to choose the best product ideal for their situation, saving money and also avoiding drug interaction. Doesn't mean the plant is the one causing interaction per se. It's just that many of our clients, they have underlying condition. They are also going through using other medicine. So this medicine can interact. So I try to help them navigate that space using my background as a clinician and also my background as a medicinal herb user growing up to help folks navigate this space. And the discussion we are having today is for educational purpose and should not be taken as medical advice. You must consult with your healthcare provider for all your medical needs. Here in United States, herbal medicine are not FDA approved yet, but many of them are FDA registered. So that's my house cleaning, and I'm going to pass this ball back to Liam.
Hey, Dr. O, thank you so much for giving us that little bit of introduction. And it's super interesting to hear as well about the history and really what we're kind of missing out here. I feel a lot of the time in the Western medical culture is I feel like we're one of the first cultures really in a long, long time to just completely disregard that traditional approach to medicine and plant-based medicine. And as you were saying, the things that we can start combining with terpenes and to really find out more from this. Thank you so much for sharing that one too.
Much. Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, for me, looking back, I'm like, wow. Because when you look at it, especially in a place like Africa, where we have malaria, there's mosquito, it's a tropical area, and we'll have malaria all the time. When I came to United States, and folks used to talk about malaria as if it's some, I know it does kill people, but I never took it like that. I'm thinking, come on now, folks, this is just malaria, you know? Because I grew up seeing our parents grab all these leaves together, and you know what? What they are using is the quinine that is in those plants. Quinine sulfate. Right now, as a pharmacy, when you are traveling to a place like Africa, part of the anti-malaria they give you is quinine sulfate. And that same quinine sulfate is one of the active ingredients that you find in those botanical, like the mango tree. Who knew that, you know? So it's amazing what botanicals can do, you know?
No, absolutely. Thank you so much as well. I think we all got to be a little bit more open to the power of botanicals and really start to experience it a little bit more in our lives. And really at this point, maybe as well for our listeners, for the people in the audience, people up on stage here as well, Dr. O, would you be able to give us a quick breakdown on what we've been missing on the botanical side, especially with cannabis and its medical applications?
For me, when it comes to cannabis, I mean, like I said, I grew up in a very conservative environment, just like most of us in this room. Your parent tells you, oh, this drug, don't mess with it and all that stuff. You know, we had a man back home then, we call him Fella. He was a musician. He was like a real serious activist, kind of like the Jack Harrell type of man. He fought the government and he smoked cannabis like publicly. He didn't care for a very long time, you know. Cannabis as a botanical is very unique. This is an amazing plant. For me personally, I've had family members that, of course, we always have somebody in your family that will not listen to what you're saying. I have family members that have used this plant for over 30 years. And they are even more healthier than many people in the family that never touched this plant. So when you're looking at cannabis, even though it's botanical, it's not like your ginger, your garlic, your spinach. The good thing about this plant is that everything you have in your other botanical, your vitamin A, your vitamin B, your vitamin C, your terpene, your fiber, is all in cannabis. But what makes it unique is the cannabinoid. I know these days we are discovering that some plants also have cannabinoid, but when you're talking of the big cannabinoid, the real Robocop of our time, then you're talking about cannabis. So there's this cannabinoid, and when I'm saying cannabinoid, because part of what we're doing today is taking the big names out of the, we're taking away the medical jargon. So when I'm talking about the cannabinoid, for folks that don't know about that, I'm talking about the chemicals, the plant, the compound that makes cannabis as a medicine. It's so unique to this botanical that not all plants, most plants don't have it, very, very few have it. So we have this cannabinoid in cannabis plants that is able to do a lot of things. And part of why we are able to use cannabis is the fact that the body already have its own endocannabinoid system. And when we begin to get into the endocannabinoid space, that is a different animal by itself. First of all, you got to realize in nature, your body is not going to use what it does not need. Say you have, we have endocannabinoid system in our body, that CBD and THC and all the minor cannabinoids. And like I said, folks, when you are hearing cannabinoid, it's just a compound that is in the plant. You get what I'm saying? That's just the compound. So this compound that we're talking about is binding to a receptor in human body. How is that even possible? That a plant is going to go bind to something in our body? Knowing the human body, the body does not allow foreign agent to come in. So for CBD and THC to be able to bind to this system that is relatively new, that we just discovered, it's not that it's new, we just discovered it within the last 50 years or so. So for CBD, that is a plant, or THC or other phytocannabinoid, plant cannabis, to bind to this system in our body, normally it's not supposed to be like that. But the reason why the body is able to, the plant, the CBD is able to bind to the endocannabinoid system is because the system itself has its own cannabis. Our body is already producing cannabis-like product. That is your 2-AG and your anandamide. That's the name of the cannabis type of compound that the body produces. Just like back in the days, we never knew what was going on when the body uses morphine. Morphine was originally discovered from plants, cocoa plants. But the body itself already have what we call the opioid receptor in the system. That's why we are able to morphine and all the other opioid is able to bind. We are able to use it for it to work. It's working. Why? Because we already have a system in our body. Okay, if we have a system in our body, does that mean our body needs that system? It means our body is already producing its own chemicals that looks and works like morphine, which is our endorphin. When you hear endo in anything, it's like you are producing it inside your body. Endo means inside. And phyto means it's from plants. So I'm going to pass it back to Liam to ask what other question. I'm going to leave you to lead the discussion, because for me, when I'm in this space, I can like go like on a tangent. I love this plant so much. I'm passionate about it. It's just amazing what this plant can do. And I get in my head sometimes.
Dr. O, you have absolutely no reason to apologize whatsoever. I'm sitting here like a sponge soaking it up because you have such a nice way of explaining it and making it digestible for, you know, to really start understanding how these systems come into play, and then bringing in examples like how morphine is working, and also how the other pharmaceuticals basically that we have today are all originally based on plant medicine and extracts from plants. It's really, really valid points, and I feel like this is something that we forget a lot of the time. I just really wanted to ask. I mean, I have so many questions. Like you said, you were in this space, and you can go on forever. I could ask questions forever on this one too, because I feel like it's so difficult for people nowadays to really start to understand. And like we had in other conversations, there's some people who, when we start mentioning, you know, the big words like endocannabinoid system or how these work in the body with different receptors like the CB1 and CB2 receptors. How could we really, in like a 20-30 second breakdown for people on how cannabis can help people medically, how can we put that in a nice little brief short form for our listeners that are listening in?
For that, and we're going to make it brief and short. So folks, this is what's going on. You have this system in your body. Think of your key and lock. When you go out, you go to work. When you come back, you put your key in your lock, you turn it, it opens. What happens? Greets you, cool hair. If you're living in Florida like me, you're like, oh my goodness, that feels good. That's how the system in your body works. That's what the endocannabinoid system, when you are hearing the system, when you are hearing the receptor all over our body, that's how the body system works. It works by receptor, it works by system. What does the receptor mean? It means you coming in, putting your key in your lock, turning it and opening it. So you have this system. Your key is your CBD. When your CBD comes into your body, it goes and binds into its lock, which is the system. The door opens and you see the effect. What are the effects that you see? Some of the effect that we see depends on which part of the body or what product we are using. For most people that are using CBD, the receptor, where CBD binds, that it will open the door for effects to come into place, it binds to the immune system. It binds to your lymphatic system. It binds to your spleen, to the blood, to the skin. That's the areas where CBD works the most. So when you see, they say, okay, CBD is able to help with, say, something that has to do with immune system, it's because of where that receptor, where it's working, where it's binding. When you're talking about THC, think about your brain. Everything THC has to do with the brain. Why? Because where the THC bind is most of the CB1 receptor, that's what we call it, is around the brain. It's also in other part of the body, but a lot of it is in the brain. So what do you see when you think of THC? It can help with pain. It helps with even when you look at cancer. Because of especially cancers like glioma, all those brain cancers, you notice that for people that have used this medicine, they will say, oh, it's effective, it works for brain type of cancer. Why? Because in the brain, there are these cells in the brain where THC bind. That's why some of these things work the way they are.
Thank you so much. That's definitely helped me as well understand it a little bit. And I always had problems making the distinction between the CB1 and CB2 receptor, but you just explaining it that way and also saying the way that THC interacts and works with the brain, now I know THC is the one that's connecting and interacting that way. So thank you so much for the explanation and the breakdown as well. I'd also love to get Farzana, David, Jerry, Jared, Pam, Corey, all of you guys in here as well. I'm sure you guys are all burning and itching with questions as well for Dr. O.
Dr. O, Queen, I'm so glad you graced the panel. I'd love to ask you a question. You explain it so beautifully. The importance of using or being able to use THC and CBD or full spectrum medicine. So for patients that don't really understand or have only been introduced to CBD, could you just give like a brief explanation of why we need full spectrum?
Okay, Fozana, that's my sister, you guys. Okay, Fozana, you know, part of I'm just gonna throw one of our I don't know how what they call it. We also have a club here, Cannabis Psychedelic Club, which Fozana is a member of. So you guys can come in from time to time. We do deal in these topics extensively a lot, because like I said, it can take forever for us to break this thing down. But sum it up, when you talk about broad spectrum, and I'm talking about the natural plant, you have your toppings, you have your flavonoid. When you are hearing this name, these are just compounds in your botanical, just like you will have it in your orange, in your spinach, in your cucumber. All these are plant stuff. So flavonoid normally is in plants. All those red stuff that you see in tomatoes is because of flavonoid. You have toppings, you have fiber, you have essential oil, you have the cannabinoid. All these are working together to give botanical their uniqueness. Even the FDA, they can't really put botanicals in a box because they are living beings. Botanicals are living beings. They are different from time to time. You can't say, oh, we're going to box it up. That's part of why they classify this plant as a Schedule 1. If we call it a drug, if you call it a drug, then we are not going to treat it as a botanical. The way we should treat it is the way we treat our spinach, the way we treat other medicine, other botanical. It's a living plant. So when you have all these compounds together, they have what we call the entourage effect. Entourage effect, basically, this is how I explain it. One will chase 1,000. That's a biblical saying. Two will chase 10,000. I don't know where that math came from, but I'm running with it. I'm running with it. So when it's like, if somebody is pushing a trolley, one person pushing a trolley, if you get somebody else to come and push it with you, it's going to be faster than only one person pushing it. So that is what the whole broad spectrum means. Like all these other compounds, they are contributing their own quota to make the plant unique. When we look at single molecule, we have single molecule that is cannabis based, synthetic, and this is called dronabinol. We use it in the pharmacy. What do we use it for? We use it for HIV/AIDS to help with weight loss. We use it for nausea and vomiting in cancer patients to help them with nausea and vomiting. Part of the side effect that patients complain about when we use single agent is the fact that they can, it makes them sleep more than they want to sleep. The side effect is not bearable for this patient. The same side effect they complain in single agent, they don't complain about it when they use the broad spectrum plant. So basically, because these single agents, they don't have the entourage effect. And when I say entourage effect, I'm just saying it takes a whole village. Imagine a whole village going to the fair compared to one person doing it by themselves. So because we have a whole village in this plant contributing their own little pennies, it makes it unique. It's like CBD can counter the effect of THC. Topping can add its own fine smell. What do you see in dronabinol? Nothing, just the poor mean little dronabinol, you know? So that's the uniqueness of the broad spectrum. But does that mean there are some places like that don't they haven't approved for you to have the whole plant and all that. We will do whatever we can with what we have. Meaning, if we don't have the whole plant, we can go with broad spectrum. If we don't have with broad spectrum, we can do isolate. But the last one that I will choose is single molecule because it's just one agent.
That's great. Doctor, thank you so much for coming into the show tonight. It's fantastic. You've got some amazing knowledge. Just a quick question for you. It's David, by the way. Over the last few years, I've been trying different diets. Different healthy eating regimes. Let's not call them diets. And I've been sort of trying different botanicals. Obviously, consumed cannabis throughout. Tried CBD, the flower. And what I found was that when I was on the keto diet, when I was in ketosis, the way that cannabis interacted with my body was probably the best I've ever experienced. When I then went back onto a carbohydrate diet, the effects of the cannabis were it didn't seem to work as much, and it actually sort of gave me more negative effects. And what I'm wondering is obviously diet is part, a very big part of, you know, you are what you eat. And I think it's important to sort of for people to understand the other side of what you need to be doing whilst you're using cannabis. But what my question is, sorry, is the difference between ketosis, when your body is burning fat as energy and creating ketones, and the difference of when you are burning carbohydrates and obviously raising your blood sugars. But how do you think THC reacts differently? Because again, I felt two completely different experiences, and I now believe that I may at some point have compromised my endocannabinoid system or overwhelmed it. Is that possible, doctor?
Thank you, David, for that question. First of all, when we're talking about diet, like fasting, like being in ketosis and all that stuff, you have to, what should come to mind is the fact that our whole body system is resetting itself. It's like a reset. It's like all that junk. I mean, for years and years and years, we eat all kind of junk, all kind of, our body is just keep taking it in. And because we have a lot of fatty tissue, all our body is made up of all kind of fatty cells. So these cells, all the junk we eat, stores in there. So when you are going through a fast or a keto diet, basically all the junk that has been in your body begins to be used and get rid of it. So now you are like a new baby, and this plant is coming in, doesn't have to fight with so much stuff. It's like just coming in and just going to business, just doing what it is there for. It doesn't have to say, oh my goodness, there is some McDonald's fries some hiding in this corner. There is some, what do you call it? Lipid or fat, saturated fat from Big Mac hiding in one corner that he has to get rid of first. It's just going straight to the business. So that's that. And the other part of the what you were saying about the fact that can we compromise our body system? Absolutely, especially when you look at the fact that our body, as we grow older, we age. It is what it is. Aging is part of this process. When we were younger, we don't need no vitamin. We don't go to over the counter and buy multivitamin. But as we grow older, our body ages, and so also our system, the endocannabinoid system, changes too. For some people, they might be deficient in the endocannabinoid. What I feel like is for people that are deficient in endocannabinoids itself, we should be able to supplement it with plant cannabinoids like CBD that we can buy or get from outside the body. And some people, the whole system itself might be might be bad, might be having disease or having situation going on. In that situation, we really don't need science studies to begin to look at this body and say, okay, if the whole system is at fault, if something is wrong with the whole system, how can we fix it? If nothing is wrong with the system and we are just deficient, why can't we go and get cannabis, plant cannabis, plant cannabinoid, and supplement it like we do our vitamins? It's not rocket science, but I guess we're gonna have to put it. So we're still learning a lot about our body. We're still learning a lot about the plant, but it makes sense for you to see that type of response from your body that you just described. I hope that kind of helped out a little bit, David.
As always, Doctor, you over-deliver with your answers. Honestly, thank you so much. That makes a lot of sense. Thank you.
Hi, Dr. O. It's me, Fazana, again. I've got a question for you. So you know, yes, the main important thing on everybody's lips at the moment, the biggest trend is Delta 8. Could you just explain to everybody the importance, the difference between Delta 8 and Delta 9? Thank you, Queen.
Yes, Mama. Okay, Fazana, folks, that is a big one. There was I saw a post this week on LinkedIn whereby some stores somewhere were raided by the DEA because I guess they were selling Delta 8, and these folks just went in and just messed up this folks' store and took their product. Delta 8 and Delta 9, battle of the titans. Delta 9 and Delta 8, for me personally, there's no difference between those two. Most of the opioid and even cannabinoid, they all have similar, what we call backbones. They all have similar, just like our backbone. A man, you have your spinal cord, a woman has the spinal cord. The structure is the same. It's just that all these chemicals, when the difference between them is time moving the side chains around. In the case of Delta 8, the hydroxyl group is on the eighth position, while in Delta 9, the hydroxyl group is on the ninth position. What does that do? So that little shift in orientation, we call it orientation in space, that little shift, what does that do? It makes Delta 8 less effective compared to Delta 9. But Delta 8 is still going to do almost all the things that Delta 9 will do. It's just at a lower degree. It's just like you are sitting by yourself on a chair, and somebody comes and say, let's share this chair. Now you are squeezed up. And because you are squeezed up, you are not as relaxed as you used to be. And because you are not as relaxed as you used to be, your whole body is not contacting all your environment when you are sitting alone compared to when somebody is sharing that seat with you. That's the best way for folks to see. And like I said, whether it's taken, is derived from what they call it, hemp, is still a THC derivative. And even though the federal government is not saying anything right now, they're probably gonna come for folks. So you just need to be very, very careful if you are dealing with that. Like I said, somebody was raided, and they said the person was dealing in illegal stuff. But Delta 8 here in United States is from hemp. And hemp is supposed to be legal. So it's a real gray area that, but it's the same. It's just that effectiveness of it is different, slightly different.
Thank you, Dr. O. That was fantastic.
Thank you.
There, there's Delta 10 also coming that we need to avoid. Isn't it just the decarboxylated version of the Delta 9? The Delta 8, so it's still in its more raw form, so it's not as effective.
It's just orientation, change of the groups. It's not decarbon. If it's decarboxylated, that means you are taking away a carboxylic group from it. That means if it's decarboxylated, that means you will actually take the group out of there, either in the form of CO2, or it can combine with another acid to form salt and water. That's how this is supposed to work. So if it's Delta 8, it's in the delta position. It's a positioning that is going on. It's not decarboxylation. If it's decarboxylated, then it's another product. It's not going to be, it could be still be a derivative of THC, but it's not going to be Delta 8. We have Delta 8 and Delta 9. Those are oriented. You won't, they're not going to say Delta 8 and CBD. But if you look at their structure, they are so similar, but you are not going to call CBD THC. But here we are calling Delta 8 THC, Delta 9 THC. It's a shift in orientation. The group moved from the ninth position and moved to the eighth position. That's chemistry wise, that's how it's supposed to be. So if somebody if they are explaining it in another way, I'm gonna have to see it and see what the chemical reaction is doing. Does that explain it to you?
I love it. Yeah, no, that's what I was trying to figure out, if it was decarboxylation that was occurring or not occurring, and which would relieve, you know, give you the Delta 8 or the Delta 9. Because I know Delta 8 is definitely get you high still, and so does Delta 10, and along with Delta 9. So that's all I was just seeing. If when you do decarboxylate, what group does that increase?
When you decarboxylate, see Delta 8, Delta 9, and Delta 10, all those are changing groups, movement. Somebody moving, like you move from your seat and decide to swap seats with Liam, is movement. When you decarboxylate, that means a group like a CO2, the carboxylic, the acidic form of it. The CO2 is COO. It will bind to the carbon. So when you decarboxylate it, it will cut it off. It will go away. It will go away and join another group. That's how that happens. When you're thinking about decarboxylation, you can look at the acidic form of THC, like tetrahydrocannabivoric acid, the acidic form, or right. CBGA, THCA. So that's where decarboxylation happens. When you decarboxylate the acid, it gives you the neutral salt form of it. Right. This is how it works: acid, base, salt, and water. So when you decarboxylate acid, it gives you the salt. The salt is your THC and CBD, the neutral salt. So that's what's going on in those.
That makes sense. When we test, you know, the fresh material, you know, the THC will be higher, and then when we cook it down and make it into an oil, the THC might be higher because we concentrated it, but we also see higher concentrations of CBN and CBD and other compounds. Most of the other compounds, as they decarboxylate, break down into CBN.
Absolutely. That's totally correct, Gary. When you begin to apply heat, what is happening is there's decarboxylation going on. And even your THC, when you decarboxylate it or you leave it and heat in a, or leave it for too long, then it begins to change to CBN, which is normally is derived from old THC. And what does that old THC mean? It simply means for a long time, you leave it in that corner, the air, the environment is decarboxylating it and oxidizing it. And that's when you have it in the old form CBN. And that even that old form, even your old cannabis is still valuable, folks. CBN, we all know, is good for help with sleep and all that. So even there's nothing you can waste in this botanical wonder plant.
If you boil down THC or CBD plants just in water, I'm not talking about an extraction, just put it in a pot, put the plant material in, boil it, remove the plant material, and what's left behind will be, you know, just like a water hash type of thing. But if you keep cooking that down, whether it's THC or CBD, you'll end up with 90% CBN. If you just fully decarboxylate all of the compounds, whatever's in the plant, you can, you know, you can coalesce a lot of CBN. So like you're saying, you're absolutely right. There's never any waste, no matter how old or young or whatever it is. There's always something beneficial in the plant. I love your knowledge. I like what you're saying.
Thank you so much. And the other thing that you can look at when you are talking about that CBN scenario is the fact that you are just speeding up the whole process. When you apply the heat, it's like you are just speeding up the whole process. If you take that THC and you put it in a corner, the heat around for a very long time, it's just like something that we are just helping it.
Hundreds of years.
Walk faster. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Appreciate that. That's awesome. It's amazing, this stuff. I'm so passionate about this stuff. It's so cool.
And we're noticing that the acid molecules are the ones that really do the job on removing the cancer. We're noticing like the CBGA, the THCA, the CBDA. If you can get the acid compounds, you know, together and get that in a formula and get that to a patient, that's where you see, or we're noticing that those acid molecules break off, go in the body, attach to the free radicals, and then the tumors just melt away within, you know, a month, weeks, depending on how the size of it.
Absolutely, Jared. And do you know where you get those acid the most? You get those acid mostly from the fresh plants. Fresh plants, they are gold. They are golden nugget. And in fact, I have a masterclass, a cannabis as medicine masterclass coming up. Part of the bonus that I'm going to be giving to folks is cannabis juicing, as in how they can begin to juice their cannabis and just harness those acidic form of it and just take it like your water. Smoothies and all that. That's part of what I'm working on right now. Those are good stuff. Thank you, Jerry. You are very, very knowledgeable about this stuff.
I've been in it for a minute. I'm not a doctor, but I started you know, giving this to patients in 2005 and seeing what happens, and then really, you know, just collecting, aggregating all the data and really figuring out how to help people based on the, you know, real data, not necessarily reading it. I don't, you know, I haven't been able to find much data in 2005 and 2008, 2010. There wasn't much out there on any of this stuff. So I just created my own little preclinical trial and just paid for, just giving it. I just basically gave oil away for since then till last year. I still give oil away today, but my point is we've just been trying to really understand what's going on, because the most amazing things are happening with this plant, and the traditional medicine was not clued in, you know, 20 years ago. I mean, we're just discovering what the endocannabinoid system does and how it affects all these different compounds, and it's really an exciting time, especially now that we have doctors really looking at this plant here in America. I know other countries have been probably way ahead of us, but in America, it's been a real stigma to having any kind of cannabis as medicine. So I really appreciate you and everything you're doing. You are on it. You know exactly what to do.
Thank you. Thank you, Jared, for what you're doing as well. It's going to take all of us. That's what I tell people. Folks like you, that this plant is a living being. Folks like you that work with this plant for forever and bringing your knowledge, and folks like me, to tell you the truth, we're going to need the big pharma as well at one point in time, because they have perfected the art of administration, route of administration, which we are, that we are in the cannabis community, we are still trying to figure out. So, I mean, it doesn't mean we're going to sit back and let them just come and grab everything. You get what I'm saying? But one way or the other, we're still going to need to work with them at one time, maybe when the legalization, full legalization comes through. But it's going to take all of us to win this race, because healthcare costs is insane. We are losing people every day, people dying of opioid addiction. It's so much stuff that we need. Nobody has died of cannabis yet. So can we just legalize it already? And I'm done speaking. Liam, yeah. Back to you.
Dr. Lola, may I jump in? Jared, thank you very much for your information. And we should team up. Sounds like we're on the same track, different level, say a little bit different time. But I've been using the Rick Simpson oil for 2.5 years for skin cancer. And I've had some wonderful, wonderful results. And the biggest result, besides the skin cancer, seems to be completely dead. And I'm recovering my natural shape to my area. Is that I began to treat patients with the RSO because there's so little instructions down here. And Dr. Lola, I will be glad when it comes forward, because I stumbled into something about Crohn's disease along the way. So I have a lot of patients that come in and they have Crohn's disease and they're using way too much RSO for the Crohn's disease because they're desperate. And I began asking them what they were using as far as cannabis and the treatment. And most of them, you know, kind of like that rotating fibromyalgia pain, the Crohn's disease, the patients are living longer, they have that pain within their gut, and they go in holding their gut, and the bud tender does not know what to help them with. So they say, oh, I need an indica because I've just got to get over this pain. And truly, I found that White Widow is so beneficial to Crohn's disease, because in some way it relaxes that large intestine and the small intestine and allows it to relax somehow. And the patients are getting wonderful results. So we have so much ahead of us to learn. I can't wait till we drop into more specifics about strains. And I do ask people to please, you know, before you hybridize a plant, make sure that the plant is having a similar reaction in the body. I'm afraid that everybody crossing all of these genetics are kind of counterintuitive to the properties that we're trying to get out to be beneficial to the patient. Thank you for your time. I'm complete.
Thank you, Kennepam, for what you're doing. And just like Jared, we're just going to advise that you, even if it's just to document it for your own, document it. These are all the information. These are called anecdotal evidence. These are all the information that we're going to at one time package together and begin to actually go in the lab and do it, do clinical trials and clarify to make sure these things are working. We know it's working, but hey, whatever they give us, we'll take it. So make sure you document all these things. Have patients have a diary to put what they are taking, how it makes them feel. These are all the, that's what I tell all my practitioners. Document it. We're probably going to call on you to give us this information at one time. And I'm done speaking. Thank you.
I'm going to jump in real quick and just tell you or say that the White Widow, you're having the experience with the White Widow. I would suggest, and there's a project that we're working on with Samantha Miller doing this testing, but there's the genome of the plant, the genome of the illness, and the genome of the person. And if you can match that plant with that particular illness and the person, we're seeing that it's literally like all the keys in the locks work like instantly. So that's, you're hitting the nail on the head whenever you're identifying that White Widow with Crohn's. You're right. And you know what? Every other illness is going to have a genetic match with each person. And it's this roaming thing because we're all a little bit different. We all metabolize all these compounds a little bit differently. So the rate at which we're going to see the effects is going to vary. So we have to have, you know, broad kind of spectrum, you know, identifying markers for like White Widow, for Crohn's, or ACDC for the shingles. You know, there's all these different strains that we've found out that just work really good for that particular illness. And we have a database that we're trying to create. I mean, there's lots of other companies. There's Track My Meds. There's all sorts of companies that are doing it, which is really exciting. Tracking these people going into the bud dispensaries, holding their gut, saying, I have Crohn's, giving them the medicine. Oh, that didn't work. Then they come back in, you know, months later, and then they find the White Widow because somebody said White Widow worked for them. Now it's in the database. Now the bud tender is suggesting White Widow for Crohn's. So those are that's the direction I really want to see this whole thing go. And it's platforms like this that allow us to really share the data that allows it to really get out. Because, you know, for years I've been trying to, you know, put things together on Facebook and Instagram, and now they've banned me so much I can't even have an account on any one. So I got to just roll on email. I have an email and I have a LinkedIn account that they haven't shut down yet.
Also for all
keep moving forward, dude. Thank you. And thank you, Dr. Lola, for everything that you're doing, for everybody in the room, and for everybody that's listening when this is dropped. Keep advocating, make your notes, and now that I know we have genome matches, you have changed my reality. Thank you for all the information today. I am complete.
Thank you.
I'm just going to jump in there. My name is Øystein. I'm the founder of Nordic Herbzone. And Jared, for all the listeners and everyone else that might want to be in contact with you, if you want to shoot out your email, that would be nice.
Oh, it's jared@lostcoastwellness.com.
Perfecto. And Dr. O, I have a question about terpenes and the effect it has with different cannabinoids. Can you do a small breakdown?
When we talk about terpenes are huge. And the good thing about terpene is the fact that even for those that don't use cannabis, they still can get access to terpene. It's not psychoactive. It's found in other plants. Or the smell of all your flowers, all your fruit is from terpene. The smell of cannabis, or when you think of cannabis, you think of that smell. It's nothing to do with CBD or THC. It's coming from your terpene. So even terpene themselves is being shown to have their own medicinal properties, even outside of the plant. So when you begin to combine the terpene and the plant, then magic happens. Say, for example, Marcin. I love mango a lot because I grew up with it, have the tree at the back of my house. I remember I used to go plug the mango. When it's not ripe, I will wrap it in some clothes and hide it from my sisters. That was my childhood, you know. So when you look at Marcin, Marcin has been shown to have the sedative property can help you calm you down. So when you look, if you are the type you want to sleep, you are having problem relaxing or sleeping, you can either get a plant that have macin in it, or even when you combine that macin with your CBD or THC, it's just that when you are combining with THC, we already know THC has the ability to make you calm at the low dose. See, when it comes to cannabis, it's all in the dosing and it's all in the route of administration. That's what I tell people. You know your dosing, you know your route of administration. Why? That's magic, because these plants, they are what we call biphasic. It means a low dose of a particular product can do something, while a high dose of the same product would do something totally different. So it's all in your dosing. So say like macin, if you get your macin for you need sleep and you combine it with a low dose of THC, it depends on what sleep you want. If you want a really long sleep, that would be nice. If you don't want a really long sleep, you might not want to combine your mango or your macin with THC. So that's some of the, when you look at the other type is linalool. Linalool, when you think about that, you think of lavender. What do, even in the natural world, let's forget about cannabis. What do we, when you think of lavender, what does it come to you? It comes with you, that lovely, nice smell, that calmness. And that's what linalool does, is it helps you to calm. It helps you to relax. What does that do? That take away stress. It reduces the stressors in our life. That calmness can also help to sleep. So when it takes you knowing the specific topping, what they do, for you to be able to say this is the profile that I'm looking for. When we talk about strain and all that, this plant is being so hybrid together that it's not even about strains anymore. It's not really about strain. That's why I wrote my book, A Pharmacist's Guide to Cannabis, Perspective of a Non-Conforming Clinician. It's like basic stuff that I broke it down. You need sleep. This is the topping. You should go to your bartender and say, do you have stuff, product with this topping in it? Do whatever you need, do you have this problem? Because the bartender, they are not, they are amazing people helping us, but they are not trained in the science of this thing. Yeah, they go through the basic education, but when it comes to this plan, just like Jared was saying earlier, it's not just what you read. There is the part of experience that comes in. There's a part of you bringing other factors, your lifelong experience, which is what Jerry was using to explain situation to people. So bartender, they are doing their best, but they're not going to be able to explain it deeper when they get there, because they are not paid for that and they didn't go to school for that details. Even some of the stuff that I say, I'm saying it, you're going to look in the book. You might not see it in any textbook. Why? Because I'm not talking just as a clinical pharmacist. I have extensive biochemistry background. So these are all the experience that I'm using together to look at this and say, this is how this thing, based on the structure, this is how it should work. So topping is the sauce. It's your secret sauce. And we still have a whole lot of compounds that we haven't even discovered. I mean, the limit to this plant, we don't even know it yet. This is amazing. This plant has been in the pharmacopoeia way back, only God knows, since the creation, I'm sure. The Asian, the Indian, the Chinese folks, they've used this, they call it ma. They've used this botanical for generations. The pharaohs, the Egyptians, they used this plant to even bury their dead. As in, for some of the mummies that were discovered, they saw cannabis plants in their coffin. So it's amazing what this plant can do. So what I'm going to tell people, even for those that are not in, they are not cannabis lover yet, topping is non-psychoactive. You find it in your orange, you find it in your garlic. The smell of garlic is as a result of topping. Anything that smells that is a botanical, that smell is from topping. And for me today, what did I do today? I put my lemon, I put lime, I put my honey. I just throw everything in there, garlic and ginger. I blend it together and I make it into my herbal tea and I drink it and I'm fine. So botanicals are blessing their wonderful gift of nature to us. And like I said, does that mean it's for everybody? No, you still have to work with somebody that knows what they are doing and be able to lead you in the right direction. Just like I'm always going to bring Coumadin because warfarin, because it's one of our very, very challenging medicine when it comes to pharmaceutics. It's extremely difficult to manage warfarin. We tell people don't eat greens. Why? Does that mean green is bad for you? No, it's not that. It's just that green has vitamin K in it, and your blood thinning medicine, the warfarin, also work in that process. So if you combine too much green with warfarin, it can over thin your blood and you can have internal bleeding. That's why we tell them that. So this plant, because people are on other medicine, we want to be careful. And I tell people, if we call it medicine, we need to respect it and treat it as such. You're not going to go over the counter and grab a bottle of Tylenol and just gulp it down. There's a science behind it. It has active ingredients. Yes, our forefathers have been using it for generations, and we can use it. It's safe. I'm saying it is safe, but we still have to treat it as a medicine. And Liam, I'm done speaking. I'm passing it back to you.
I just wanted to add something on the terpenes. Beta-caryophyllene, we're noticing, is almost equal to just CBD alone. So beta-caryophyllene, CBD, almost equal when they go in. The beta-caryophyllene, okay, so the CBD works on your endocannabinoid system. The beta-caryophyllene, the tourmaline, all the terpenes work on your hippocampus, which is in your mind, right? So that's the mind part of your head. That hippocampus is what receives all those flavors and determines what, you know, how is the body going to create its own enzymes, basically, to make you heal or help you. So that's really all I wanted to say. I could go on and on and on and on, but that's...
That makes a lot of sense.
Beta-caryophyllene. Yeah. And then the hippocampus. So that what not to get too spiritual on it, but I look at the endocannabinoids as the body, and then the mind is the terpenes. And when you get the mind and the body to work in synergy, now you got your spirit coming on online, and you're love picking that up on all sorts of other things. So
I love that.
I love that too.
I love that, man. That is awesome.
Well, I'll stop talking.
Well, no, well, thank you, I love
Jared.
That.
Thank you. I really, really appreciate that, Jared. I'm sitting here as well thinking like, wow, this is the conversations that we've had and the points that you guys have been making and just the value that you've been adding to especially the people that are going to be listening and afterwards who maybe are, you know, they're struggling to think about cannabis as a medicine or they know that it has some applications. But yeah, just working it out in this way, I think, is a really, really nice way. I just wanted to, yeah, let it and leave it open for a couple more minutes for kind of any more questions or thoughts that people had or wanted to share, maybe some more things that you guys want to ask Dr. O or Jared or Canapams or Frizana or any of the amazing people in here.
I'm a budtender, and like you were saying, Dr. Lola, there's not really much information besides like if you go through the consultation part of like medical cannabis. I'm in Washington State, and like so far that's the only information you get is the medical consultation if you're lucky that your company pays for it. But do you have any sources outside of that, like what budtenders can use to learn outside of that, that they get basically from their state or any other information we can look at?
Alessandra, thank you so much, first of all, for what you guys do. Like I said, you guys work at a very challenging situation. The real resources, as per the knowledge, the details of what you need to be able to counsel patients is not there yet. Eventually, it will probably be there. I don't, other than like going through this very intense search to look for data, well, I know Washington State, they have a cost right now. Only God knows how much that's going to cost, probably how many legs to even do that.
Yeah, it's $600 for the medical consultation course. Luckily, my company paid for it, but not everybody gets certified under it. It's just basically like the pick of the luck, actually.
What I'm doing right now is that I'm working with a dispensary. I'm putting courses together that I can present to this dispensary so that I can put all this material together to help present this material to you guys. I mean, you've been in this room for a while. This is like scratching the surface, but this is my teaching method. I like to take all the medical jargons out of there and break it down to the level that people can consume, because it's not everybody that have that chemistry background. I mean, folks are like, come on now, I run from organic chemistry 101. Well, I mean, is that what I'm here to do? People don't have the patience to go through that tech. So that's what I'm doing. So I'm putting courses together. Right now, I'm working on my cannabis as medicine. Then I have a model for the dispensary. And that's what I'm trying to do, like get these classes together and present it to clinicians, dispensary, individuals like you that might want to take the course themselves. And before the end of summer, everything will be in place. And so you want to follow me? I'm working on my website right now. We are updating the website, but in the meantime, you go on my profile. All the information there are directly to me, and I also check my DM on a regular basis. So if you want to follow me, whenever these stuffs are ready, you will be the first to know. Thank you.
I'm sorry to cut you off, Dr. Lola.
No, you're fine.
I was excited to jump in. Now, I'm affiliated with a company, Elevate Presents, and it's I represent some of their glass, and Elevate Presents has been going on for 15 years, and they're the developer of the Silver Surfer at the same time way back when the volcano came out. And we talk about the differences, and we have training videos on YouTube, and it's basic people that have learned along the way. We have glass blowing because they have a glass company. They are the producers of Dime Bag, but that was sold off so they can concentrate on the vaporizers and the glass and the educational platform of Elevate Presents. So they'll talk about finding your sweet spot. Something that we haven't talked about is vaporization temperatures, like the pinenes really burn at about 311 all the way up to the limines or 349. And then when we're burning THCAA, is it THCV? That is, I need my glasses, at 429. So I'm a educator on low temp dabbing, because what we have found is that some of these profiles burn at a different temperature, and I shouldn't say burn, they vaporize at a different temperature. So when these guys are doing these big massive hot hits, they're bypassing all of these fragile terpene profiles down here and combining that vapor that causes them to cough so hard. If you do vaporization and microdosing, you have a much better effect, and you don't have that curve like you do like with sugar diabetes, where you go up and down your roller coaster. So there is a lot of information on ELEV8presents.com, and it's free education, and I suggest everybody just browse around, take a look at it, because it is wonderful information about finding your sweet spot for more bioavailability.
That's awesome. I want to add something really quick, and I'll let Dr. go in. I'm on the vape temp, you want to make sure also advocate for low temperatures. Once you get over the 610, 710, you actually start to convert other molecules into things that you don't actually like. You can make benzene and all sorts of other, you know, not so happy compounds once you get over a certain temperature.
And thank you, Jared, and Kanapam for those contributions. And it will make sense, really, if you know how this compound works. These are what we call aromatic compound. They, when you think of an aromatic compound, what wants to come to your mind is your alcohol. When you leave alcohol in a hot temperature, it starts to evaporate. These are highly volatile compounds. And it's gonna, I mean, people are gonna be able to say, oh, this is what it's doing, but there's science behind everything that we're talking about. And it's gonna take somebody that understands what is going on behind every process to be able to walk folks through and say, this is really what is going on. And that's why this is it. And I just like Jerry said, yeah, it's going to change to benzene. And benzene, phenol, rings, these are, when it gets there, they can do more damage, cause harm than good. The chain, how long the hydrocarbon chain is, you have to put that into consideration. The longer your chain, the more dangerous that hydrocarbon. So it's going to take somebody that knows the science behind what we are talking about. I know there are a lot of legacy people that work with this plant for generations. And that's why I'm saying it's going to take every one of us to figure it out. But there's a science behind it that we have to also continuously open ourselves to. And Liam, I'm done speaking. Thank you.
Dr. O, thank you so much for your time and for everything that you've been able to explain to us. I think it was a really nice way to just get people educated and also break it down for them and ask some questions and bring in some relevant topics on the medical side of cannabis as well. I really, really appreciate it, Dr. O. Thank you so much.
So much, Liam, for what you are doing on this platform. This is just an amazing work you and David Fozana and the whole gang are doing. It's amazing. And I'm so honored to be here. You know, I appreciate you guys so much. And Jared, Kanapam, all the folks, Alessandra, MQ, David, Christine Rich, Johnny S. Rich, Hey, Coco, Diego, Adam, Ribes, and we have Ben, Braylon, Derek, Eric, R. I'm not going to murder your name, Julia. You guys are awesome. It's going to take all of us, and it's amazing. It's going to happen eventually, and you guys are doing a great job coming in here and learning about this, because when that time comes, the separation of the boys from the men is going to be the difference between what you know and what you don't know. Even for you to even be able to use this medicine effectively, just like what's going on with Delta 8 and Delta 9 out there, you have to know what's going on for you to not be scammed out there. And I'm very grateful for what Liam is doing and David and all the groups in Cannabis Maker. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, Doctor. Can everybody just unmic themselves for a minute and just give this lady a round of applause? Thank you, Doctor.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm so honored. I'm humble. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Dr. O. It really has been a wonderful experience and just a pleasure to have you on as well early on in the episodes and as a real medical professional who's coming into this field to share knowledge and a true passion for the plan. It's just amazing. Yeah, thank you so much for coming on to this episode of the Cannabis Maker Podcast.
Thank you. Bye, guys. See you some other time.
Absolutely. Take care, everybody. It's been a wonderful session. Dr. O, again, shout out. Everybody can find her on Instagram at WCI Health. She is doing amazing stuff over in Florida with medical cannabis, helping patients really get on track and just sharing the true knowledge with everybody that's in the game. Thank you so much again, Dr. Lola. It's been a pleasure having you on. Thank you, Jared, Canapams, Forzana, David, Mr. Q, Alexandra, and the other speakers we had in here as well today. It's been absolutely amazing. Take care, have a blessed day, and we'll see you all again soon on the Cannabis Maker Podcast. The Cannabis Maker Podcast is hosted by Nordic Herb Zone and WeCan. Nordic Herb Zone is Norway's first cannabis and hemp brand and makes the world's best organic hemp rolling papers. Get in touch with us today to discuss wholesale and distribution options for the world's best organic hemp papers with the slowest burn and the smoothest taste. NordicHerbZone.com. WeCan is one of the UK's leading providers of digital services, development, business, and marketing tools for your cannabis business. It includes digital marketing, SEO, web design, e-commerce development, web hosting, digital marketing, branding, advertisement, wholesale and distribution, and consultancy and business development. Head to WeCan.uk today to find out more.